Well, hello there, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, the MSS crew is back and on the attack here in the Fred Bertelsen Memorial Old Time Radio Room of RadioOutOfThePast.org. Today's date is Saturday, April 1st, 2017, and this is your MSS host, Luis Jr., assisting with bringing to you another exciting and super exhilarating internet broadcast of Michael's Saturday Night Surprise. As I said it again, folks, we are here as promised, and you knew how to find us, where to find us, and when. So, I would just like to take the time to introduce the presenter for tonight's program, and he just so happens to be Mad Max Crawford. Yep, if you didn't guess it already, Mad Max is back in the studio in front of the microphone getting ready to bring to you his particular brand of OTR surprises. So, why don't we all just sit back, grab our favorite drinks and snacks, and enjoy the program. Okay, Maxwell, the microphone is yours.
Hello there, ladies and gentlemen. This is Maxwell, here to welcome you to Michael's Saturday Surprise for Saturday, April 1st, 2017. What's the theme tonight? I think you've guessed it. It's April Fools. So let's begin our first program. Here is Mel Blanc and April Fools, aired on April 1st, 1947.
Colgate Tooth Powder presents The Mel Blanc Show, written by Mac Benoff, with Mary Jane Croft, Joe Kearns, Hans Conried, Alan Reed, the sportsman, Victor Miller and his orchestra, and starring the creator of the voice of Bugs Bunny.
What's up, Doc?
Yes, Colgate Tooth Powder for a breath that's sweet and teeth that sparkle brings you The Mel Blanc Show, with Mel playing his new character, Zookie.
Hello, everybody.
And starring himself in person, Mel Blanc.
Hi, folks. Ugga-ugga-boo, ugga-boo-boo-ugga.
Well, here it is, the first day of April, All Fool's Day. All over the country, people of dignity drop their cloak of respectability and declare open season for silliness. And the people in Mel Blanc's little town are no exception, especially Mel Blanc himself. Anyway, let's sneak into his fix-it shop and listen.
Shh, he's on the phone. Is that you, Henry? I have a phone call for you from Dr. Rooster. Just a minute, I'll put him on. Oh, it was some joke on him. Yeah, now let's see who'll I call. I'll get another name out of the phone directory. Mrs. Raines, Mrs. Robinson, Mrs. Roy. Mrs. Roy, that's a good one. Hello, Mrs. Roy? I want to speak to Mrs. Roy. This one is a dilly. Is that you, Mrs. Roy? Mrs. Roy, is Kill there?
At?
Oh, Betty, it's April Fool's Day, and I'm having fun on the telephone. Just watch this. Here's a ritzy name in the phone book. Mrs. Uppington Van Sloan. Hello?
Hello?
Are you the lady that washes?
I beg your pardon.
I said, are you the lady that washes?
Of course not.
Oh, you dirty thing!
You better be careful now. One of your jokes is liable to backfire.
Oh, Betty, that's never happened to me, except once last year. Then I only spent 2 days in the hospital.
What happened?
Well, don't you remember last April Fool I disguised my voice? I woke up your father... I woke up your father at 4 a.m. and said on the phone, "You're a big fat jerk and a moron. Guess who this is?"
Yeah, well, how did you get in the hospital?
He guessed. Oh, I don't know. I can never pull a joke on your father.
Well, don't try it this year, Mel, especially since Father's beginning to like you so much.
I'm not so sure about that.
Well, Now, Father likes you very much. Last night when you were over the house, I heard him asking in the kitchen for a little bite.
Yeah, and his teeth marks are still on my arm. Now, let me see. Who else can I play a joke on?
Well, not with me around. I'll see you later. Bye.
Oh, Betty, your slipper showing.
Oh, where?
On your clothesline.
April!
Fool. Well, now I'm alone. I can pull the biggest one of them all. And this year he won't catch me. I'm going to call Betty's father.
Hello?
London calling. Mr. Colby.
London? Yes, this is Mr. Colby.
This is Smythe Twombly, the lawyer, calling. Mr. Colby, it is my duty to inform you that your uncle, Sir Percival Colby, has just been buried.
Buried?
Had to. Dead, you know.
Well, but I haven't got an Uncle Percival.
And furthermore, he left you his entire fortune.
Oh, yes, dear Uncle Percy, yes. How much did he leave?
Well, it's a matter of £2 million, 30 guineas, 5 shillings, 2 pence, and a jacket. We'll mail you the check in a fortnight.
A fortnight?
In fact, we'll send the check airmail. It may take only 3 nights. Well, cheerio.
Oh, I'm rich. I'm rich.
What a terrific rib. Oh, gee. I forgot to say April Fool. Hey, what if he takes me seriously? Oh, no, he couldn't be that stupid.
Hello, Mal.
Well, Professor Pochnik, my favorite music teacher. Have I been having fun today?
Why all of a sudden today?
Well, don't you know it's April the 1st, All Fool's Day.
Oh, pardon me. Happy birthday, Mal.
Professor, don't you get it? April Fool is when you play jokes on people.
Oh, please, don't remind me. Last year, I played a joke on my wife, Sonia. I made believe I was out of town. I called up the house and I said, "Hello, Sonia, this is Joe. Your husband's out of town. This is my chance. Joe needs you. Joe wants to come right over." Was I embarrassed?
Well, how come?
Joe answered the phone. So I divorced her and she married Joe. And his poor Joe got troubles.
Why?
Now when he's calling up, I'm answering the phone.
Say, are you going to get married again, Professor?
Yes, but with someone in my own profession. Here is an ad I'm putting in the Musical Digest. Male piano teacher wants to marry female piano teacher. Object, baby grand. Mel, I got to be...
Oh, hello, Mel. Hello, Professor. Congratulate me. I'm a millionaire.
Well, Mr. Colby...
Oh, here, Mel. Have a box of soap chips. Well, have 2 boxes.
Mr. Colby...
Well, don't stand there like that. This isn't just money. It's soap chips.
You came into a fortune?
Yes, £2 million. My uncle in England died. Well, I'm giving away my supermarket, and I'm going to build another one. I'll build the biggest in the world. In fact, it'll be so big, people will think it's a drugstore.
Mr. Colby, I think there's something you ought to know.
Oh, not now, Mel. I've given away half my supermarket, and I came down here to give you anything you want. Now, what do you need?
Mr. Colby, is it hard to get rope?
No, I'll give you just as much as you want.
Well, I just want a little for my neck. Listen, now...
No time. Yippee, I'm a millionaire. Come on, Professor Pochnik.
Yippee!
Oh, I just happen to think, please, Professor. No. My uncle died.
Oh. Isn't that terrible?
Yes, terrible.
Tell me, are you giving away Russian caviar?
Yes. What kind? You want red or black?
Well, as long as you're in mourning, make it black.
Oh, what have I done? This is the worst fix I've ever gotten myself into. Mr. Colby finds out it's an April Fool joke. This fool won't see the end of April.
Use Colgate tooth powder. Keep smiling just right. Use it each morning and use it each night. It cleans your teeth. Makes breath so sweet. Use Colgate tooth powder.
Want teeth that sparkle and dazzle, a breath that's fresh and sweet? Then try Colgate tooth powder, for the new all-purpose Colgate tooth powder cleans your teeth and sweetens your breath. Yes, this new all-purpose tooth powder produces an amazingly rich, active foam that's marvelously effective. Every time you brush your teeth with this new all-purpose Colgate tooth powder, your whole mouth feels clean, sweet, fresh. Your teeth regain their natural sparkle. It's been proved in 7 cases out of 10 that Colgate tooth powder instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. And as for cleaning, you can depend on Colgate tooth powder revealing the natural brilliance of your teeth. Yes, Colgate tooth powder, the new all-purpose tooth powder, does everything you can expect or ask of a dentifrice. Try Colgate tooth powder today for teeth that sparkle and a breath that's sweet.
Use Colgate tooth powder.
And now, Victor Miller, the sportsman, and you can't see the sun when you're crying.
You can't see the sun when you're crying. A tear can hide the brightest sky of blue. And you can't hear a song when you're sighing, no matter how the birds sing for you.
Suppose you made believe your eyes were
cloudy window panes. I'm sure you'd clean them up to look for rainbows when it rains. 'Cause you can't see the sun when you're crying. So smile and let the sun shine through. Oh, dry those tears, 'cause you can't see the sun when you're crying. You can't even hear a robin when you're sighing. Just supposing you may believe your eyes were cloudy window pane. You can't see the sun when you're crying. So smile and let the sun, smile and let the sun shine through.
Back to Mel Blanc. Mel's innocent little April Fool joke has gotten him into plenty of trouble. He phoned Mr. Colby, pretending to be an English lawyer, and convinced Colby that his uncle had died and left him $1 million. The joke went so well that Mr. Colby is giving away his supermarket to everybody in town, expecting the money to arrive from England. While Mel is figuring out how to break the news to Mr. Colby, along comes more trouble in the person of the town Beau Brummel, Hartley Benson.
Hello, Hartley. What's new in your life?
Nothing. I'm still crazy about great big adorable me. In fact, Mel, I'm as fragrant as can be. I'm so sweet, perfume smells me.
Oh, will you cut that out, Hartley?
Well, Mel, old boy, it's the truth. Haven't you heard of the new perfume that's coming out?
No. What's the name of it?
Evening with Hartley Benson. It comes in 3 strengths. Tender kiss, burning kiss, and oh, Hartley, you're straightening out my Gruen Curvex. I received the first test bottle of it just last week.
Well, how was it?
Well, I sprayed myself with half the bottle because I had a date with a gorgeous, glamorous blonde.
Well, what happened?
Nothing. I smelled so good that I stayed home and danced with myself. Tell you, Mel, I was the loveliest couple on the floor.
Look, Hartley, let me alone. I've got enough trouble.
In that case, I shall be off. I'm such a lovely thing, I'm giving myself an engagement ring. Goodbye, Mel. Nice seeing me.
What a character.
Next time he does that, I'm going to throw him a fish. Gosh, Mr. Colby is still giving things away.
There must be a way to stop him. The more he gives away, the more he'll kill me. Oh, here comes my lodge president, Mr. Cushing. Maybe he can help me.
Hello, Mel. Ugga, ugga, boo, ugga, boo, boo, ugga.
Greetings, mighty potentate. Ugga, ugga, boo, ugga, boo, boo, ugga. Well, mighty potentate, how's your dreamboat?
Mel, if you mean my wife, the word is tugboat. Matter of fact, she's a cross between a barge and a sloop. Sort of a bloop.
Mighty potentate. She doesn't look like that.
If she doesn't, Mel, why is it that every night when I go to sleep, I dream about Moby Dick the whale? You should hear that woman snore. Every once in a while, I get up yelling, "There she blows!" Mel, you should see her open her mouth when she snores. Jonah could walk in standing up. What a woman.
You sound pretty disgusted, mighty potentate.
Well, the other day I was cooking. I could hear my wife nagging, "Salt the potatoes, clean the lettuce, watch the biscuits." Then my wife came into the kitchen. She lit the burners, opened the door, and said, "Oh, John, put the turkey in the oven." Gad, what a temptation. I don't know why I'm telling you all this. It's just that I've got no one to talk to.
Well, I'm glad I got you to talk to, mighty potentate. I played a joke on Mr. Colby, and now he's giving everything away in his supermarket.
He is. My wife's shopping there right now. Maybe somebody will take her.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me finish. The reason he's giving everything away is because I fooled him into thinking he had inherited a fortune. Now, how can I get out of it?
Well, let me think. You could commit suicide. No, I'm saving that for myself. I've got it. Why don't you disguise yourself as a lawyer? Tell him there was some mistake and he really didn't inherit that money. You understand?
I do.
Mel Blank, what did you say?
I do.
Mel, never, never use those two horrible words in my...
Well, I hope I helped you out.
I guess it's high time. I better be going now.
Yep, it's high time, and thanks for the idea. Hey, where are you going now, mighty potentate?
Well, Mel, I can do one of two things. I can go to the movies and see 2 years before the mass, or I can go home and look at 20 years behind the eight ball. So long, Mel. I got to move, I got to move, I got to move.
Well, at last I've got a way to get out of my troubles. I'll be an English lawyer, and I'll have Zuki tell Mr. Colby I'm coming over tonight. Oh, Zuki! Zuki!
And you actually saw the lawyer arriving in town, Zuki?
Yeah, Mr. Colby. He came in by aeroplane. He came in by... He came in under a freight car.
Oh, that's a funny one.
I thought so too.
Well, he's probably come with the money. Oh, here, have a smoke, Rookie. It's a quarter cigar.
Oh, gee, it's wonderful. Who smoked the other three quarters?
Oh, here, I light it for you. There we are. Colby, a millionaire.
Gee. It's like a Corona. It's a Havana Panatel. Smudge pot.
Probably the lawyer now. I'll answer the door. Oh, good evening.
I'm Smythe Twombly of Thintwhistle and all that sort of rot. I'm looking for Mr. Colby and all that sort of rot.
Well, won't you come inside? I'm Mr. Colby.
Well, how are you, old bean?
Oh, tip top, old man, and you?
Sensen, old breath.
Sensen? I always thought Englishmen said pip pip.
Frankly, old boy, I've had a very tiresome journey. I'm too pooped to pip.
Mr. Smythe Twombly, tell me, where in London does your firm have its office?
Number 10 Downing Street.
But Attlee lives there.
We're putting on new help all the time. Nice fellow, Clem.
Clem? Oh, then I suppose you know Winnie.
Who?
Winnie. Winnie.
All right. Now about the money.
Oh, yes, yes, the money. When do I get it?
Mr. Colbert, there isn't any money.
What?
You don't get a red cent. You don't get a lavender farthing.
Why? It smells blank. I get it, Mel. Oh, it's an April Fool joke. You're trying to make me think I'm not getting the money, aren't you?
You're not. Huh? Mr. Colby, now don't get excited, but it was me who called you up in the first place. What? You're not getting a penny.
Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I can't believe it.
Come now. You're not trying.
Mel Blanc, I'm going to break every bone in your body.
Mr. Colby, please. I didn't mean it. Don't break my bones.
Yeah, you're right. I'm going to take this gun and shoot you instead.
Shoot me? Oh, Mr. Colby, please. Break my bones.
Nope. I'm going to shoot you.
Oh, here. Start on my arm. Go ahead. Snap it in half. Enjoy yourself. Go ahead.
It's no use. I'm going to shoot you with this .45.
Mr. Colby, couldn't you wait until the .47s come out?
No. Nothing doing. Stand still, you idiot. I'm going to shoot you right in the brain. It'll take 20 or 30 shots, but I'll find it.
Oh, he did. Oh, gosh. I never thought I'd live to see the day when I'd die. I'm going now. My whole life is passing before me. What a disappointment I've been. Even when I was born, my parents wanted to hear the patter of little feet around the house. But I disappointed them. I walked on my hands. I remember how my mother used to count my toes. 8, 9, 10, 11. Then she counted the other foot. I tried to help the family by selling magazines on street corners. I sold Time magazine on one corner, and a pretty girl sold Life on the opposite corner. On windy days, I had the time of my life. I don't want to die.
April Fool! Come on, get up, you nincompoop.
Mel, you're not dying.
Then I'm not shot? I'm not dying?
No, Mel, old boy. Mr. Colby shot blank with a blank.
What? Were all you people listening outside?
That's right. Bear, you never fooled me. I knew it was an April Fool joke immediately. But I turned the tables on you. And now, gentlemen, thanks for helping me with my little joke. And if you don't mind, I'd like to have my soap, chips, and caviar back.
April Fool!
What do you mean?
Try and get it.
You think you'll be able to hide out in your fix-it shop?
Until your father calms down, Betty. Gosh, what a day this has been. Oh, somebody wants me to fix something. I'll answer the phone, Betty. Hello, Mel's fix-it shop. If it's on the blank, bring it to blank.
Is this Mel Blank himself?
Yes.
Congratulations, Mr. Blank. This is the Tub of Diamonds radio program. You've just won a 1947 packet and $10,000 in cash. Well, Mr. Blank, what do you say to that?
Shut up.
It cleans your teeth, makes breath so sweet.
Use Colgate tooth powder.
Fresh and lively and very pleasant to taste is Colgate tooth powder, the all-purpose tooth powder. As soon as the brush touches your teeth, Colgate tooth powder makes rich, active foam that cleans and freshens every corner of your mouth. Makes your breath sweeter. Yes, indeed. In 7 cases out of 10, it's been proved that Colgate tooth powder instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. And oh, what a wonderful cleansing job Colgate tooth powder does. Leaves your teeth with that pearly, smooth feeling, reveals their natural brilliance. So for teeth that sparkle and a breath that's sweet, try Colgate tooth powder, the all-purpose tooth powder.
Use Colgate tooth powder.
Say hello to Halo Shampoo for naturally bright and beautiful hair. Remember, even finest soaps and soap shampoos hide the natural luster of your hair with dulling soap film. But Halo Shampoo contains no soap, therefore leaves no dulling soap film. Even in hardest water, Halo makes oceans of rich, fragrant lather, quickly banishes loose dandruff and dirt. Halo needs no lemon or vinegar rinse. Say hello to Halo and goodbye to dulling soap film. Get Halo Shampoo at any cosmetic counter. Remember, Mel Blanc at the same time every Tuesday night. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Mel Blanc and April Fools, aired on April 1st, 1947. Now let's hear our second program. It's from Our Miss Brooks and April Fool's Day, aired on April the 3rd, 1949.
Palmolive Soap, your beauty hope, and Luster Cream Shampoo for soft, glamorous, caressable hair bring you Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden. Teaches English at Madison High School, has always tried to get along with her fellow faculty members, regardless of whether they're male or female.
One thing that school teachers of either sex have in common is the fact that he, she, or them was, is, and are underpaid. But there is one definite advantage held by the men. When a male school teacher hasn't enough money to go to the movies, he can stay home and look at the pictures on his Esquire calendar. I've overcome that advantage to some slight extent by making my own calendar. I've used 12 snapshots, one for each month, of Madison's bashful biologist, Philip Boynton. There they are, right on my bedroom wall. January, Mr. Boynton in his up-to-the-minute raccoon coat. February, Mr. Boynton on Valentine's Day with a big red heart-shaped box under his arm containing flies for his frog, McDougal. Then March, Mr. Boynton in plus fours, a striped blazer, and a three-propeller beanie. Last Friday morning when I tore the page for March off my calendar, there was Mr. Boynton with his arms around me. So I knew it was April Fool's Day. My landlady, Mrs. Davis, knocked on my door a moment later. Come in.
Good morning, Connie. Many happy returns of the day.
Thanks, Mrs. Davis. Happy April Fool's Day to you. Oh, what time is it anyway? I'm still sleepy.
It's almost 7, Connie. I've been up for hours planning little tricks to play on people.
Well, I hope you're not going to be as naughty as you were last year, setting firecrackers off in our yard to make everybody think it was 4th of July.
Well, that was fun, wasn't it?
Yes, until one of your pinwheels joined me in the shower.
Well, let's see now. I came up here to tell you something rather important. Oh, dear me. Whenever I talk to my sister Angela, I become almost as absent-minded as she is. We had quite a conversation on the phone this morning.
How is Angela?
Fine, thank you. But she's so flighty. Why, right in the middle of our telephone conversation, she forgot that she was talking about completely. I'm worried about her. It's like I was telling my brother the other day. We've got to do something, I said.
You've got to do something?
About what?
I was just repeating what you said to your brother.
Which brother?
I don't know. Your brother Victor, I guess.
I guess so. Well, it's a beautiful day, isn't it?
Mrs. Davis, you came in here to tell me something. Now, try and remember what it was so I can take a shower and get dressed and forget about it.
Oh, yes. One of your students is waiting for you in the living room, Walter Denton.
Walter Denton? What's he doing here so early?
All right, Connie, I'll tell him. Poor thing, she's got so much on her mind she can't concentrate.
Hi, Mrs. Davis.
Walter, what are you doing here?
You just left me here, Mrs. Davis. Oh, and you went in to see Miss Brooks.
Oh. That reminds me. What are you doing here so early?
Well, it's a big secret, Mrs. Davis, but I'll tell you if you promise to keep it strictly confidential.
I promise.
You won't forget now.
I won't forget what now?
To keep it confidential.
To keep what confidential?
I guess it's safe with you. Look at this newspaper column. The one called Dorothy Daly's Daily Advice to the Heart Sore.
Oh, I read that all the time.
You never read a letter like this one, though, I'll bet. Listen. Dear Dorothy Daly, I teach English in high school, but my chief interest lies in a fellow teacher of the opposite sex whose initials are PB. No matter how I try, I can't seem to make any progress with him. I'm attractive without being ravishing, intelligent without being stuffy, cheerful without being a Pollyanna, but mostly I'm without PB. Can you help me? Signed, CB.
Well, I certainly sympathize with that young lady, but... Now, wait a minute. Connie Brooks. Walter, do you think the CB in this letter could be the CB I think the CB could be?
I'm positive it is. Look who she's stuck on. PB, Philip Boynton.
Oh, but Walter, PB could stand for anybody. Why, it could stand for Paul Bunyan.
Mrs. Davis, you're closer to Miss Brooks than any of us. Does she know anybody named Paul Bunyan?
No, not that I know of.
Then there you are. She's got to be CB.
But, Walter, do you honestly think Miss Brooks would write a letter like this to a public newspaper?
Oh, sure. Mrs. Davis, haven't you heard the famous epigram, "Love in its desperation turns to many strange devices"?
No, Walter. Who said that?
I did. Look, Mrs. Davis, we won't embarrass Miss Brooks by mentioning it in front of her, but we've got to try and help her. Listen to Dorothy Daly's answer to Miss Brooks. Dear CB, come out of your shell. Improve your personality and don't be afraid to be the life of the party. Then watch your Mr. PB sit up and take notice. Yours for nailing them down before they can wriggle off the hook, Dorothy Daly. There's our problem, Mrs. Davis. We've got to give Miss Brooks a personality.
I never noticed that she didn't have any.
Now remember, Mrs. Davis, not a word to a soul. Of course, I've told Harriet Conklin so she can tell her father he has to give a party tonight which Miss Brooks can go to and be the life of.
Tonight? That's pretty short notice, isn't it?
That's why we have to wake her up so early. This new personality's a rush job. Oh, careful, here she comes. Hiya, CB, how's everything? Okay?
Well, no, W.D., it's N.G.
N.G.?
I didn't get enough S.L.E.E.P.
What?
Sorry, S.L.E.A.P.
Oh, sleep!
If you'll excuse me, I'll get some breakfast for us. I'll call you when it's ready.
All right, Mrs. Davis. Now then, Walter, what's the crisis?
Crisis? Oh, there's no crisis. I just thought it would be nice to have a little chat.
In the middle of the night? Now, look, Walter, this April Fool's business leaves me pretty cold. So if you're playing any pranks...
Oh, this has nothing to do with April Fool, Miss Brooks. It's just that I've been making a study of personalities lately, and I've come to the conclusion that we should all come out of our shell.
Good, but let's not come out until 8 o'clock in the morning.
Now, there's nothing like parlor magic to make anybody the life of the party. For instance, have you seen the disappearing quarter trick? Look, I hold this quarter between my thumb and third finger like this. Then I make a few magic passes, and presto! Where's the quarter?
On the floor.
Well, I haven't practiced enough yet, but a trick like this you could learn easy.
I could learn it easily.
I knew you'd go for it. Now, here, take the quarter in your left hand.
Look, Walter, making money disappear is no trick for a school teacher. Let's get some way to make some appear, then we'll have something.
Breakfast is ready.
Oh, come on into the dinette, Walter.
Just sit right down. You sit here, Walter.
Thanks, Mrs. Davis.
Drink your juice first, and I'll bring the rest out in a minute.
All right, Mrs. Davis. Well, that's funny. This is orange juice.
What's funny about that?
The last breakfast Mrs. Davis prepared for me began with marinated olive juice.
Recipes, all right.
Oh, say, I just thought of another great party trick. It's called the spoon in the empty glass trick. Here, I've got two spoons right here. Now, I place the back of one behind the front of the other, and by means of leverage, plop it right into the empty glass. So. Oh, gosh, the glass wasn't empty.
It is now. My lap isn't as empty as it was.
Don't let it upset you, Miss Brooks. One of the truest things ever said is the quotation, "A damp garment should not dampen the spirits of the wearer."
Who said that?
I did. Here we are. Now, Connie, I want to surprise you. Close your eyes before I put this food down in front of you. Go ahead now. Please close them tight.
All right, Mrs. Davis, they're closed.
There. Now, before you open them, guess what we've got for breakfast.
Salmon patties fried in Cointreau?
No, I ran out of Cointreau. Try again.
Wheat cakes and ravioli?
No. I guess you better give up. Open your eyes.
Why, what's this? Plain scrambled eggs, toast and coffee?
That's right, Connie. April Fool!
Brooks, starring Eve Arden, will continue in just a moment, but first, here is Vern Smith. Want to win $49,000 in cash? That's right, $49,000 in cash, the first prize offered by the makers of Palmolive soap in their big, exciting 49 Gold Rush contest. Second prize, $4,900. And there are 4,949 other cash prizes. What a chance to win $100,000 in cash prizes, and it's easy to enter. Simply finish this sentence, "I like Palmolive soap because," in 25 words or less. That's all. Just 25 words or less to finish the sentence, "I like Palmolive soap because." Then mail your entry right away along with a Palmolive soap wrapper. Easy, isn't it? And remember, thousands will strike it rich in this big 49 Gold Rush contest. Enter as often as you like. Get entry blanks and complete rules from your dealer, or send your entries on plain paper with your name and address and dealer's name and address, plus one Palmolive wrapper for each entry. Mail to Gold Rush Contest, Box 49, New York 8, New York. You better write that down. Gold Rush Contest, Box 49, New York 8, New York. But hurry, your last chance. Contest closes next Saturday. Get Palmolive soap right away to help win a lovelier complexion and try for your share of the $100,000 in cash prizes. Well, Walter Denton's moving full speed ahead in his efforts to aid CB take Dorothy Daly's advice concerning PB. Let's look in now on another of the conspirators, Harriet Conklin, as she speaks to her father in the principal's office.
So all you have to do, Daddy, is to invite this party to the party when she comes by this morning.
But I don't see any reason for it, Harriet. I'm getting sick and tired of this constant round of parties. One mad whirl after another.
Daddy, the last party you gave was on Thanksgiving. Oh, this is vital, Daddy. I can't go into embarrassing details, but we've got to bring somebody out of herself. Oh, you've just got to invite Miss Brooks to our party.
Miss Brooks? But she has a party every day, all day long.
It only seems that way because of her pleasant exterior. Believe me, there are days when her heart is sorely beset beneath that gay surface and lies in her bosom like a dead thing. That must be Miss Brooks now.
Well, I won't go through with it, Harriet. I absolutely refuse
Listen,
to have any...
Listen, Daddy. You promised Mother you'd go on a diet, didn't you?
Yes, but what has that got to
if
do with
If you don't invite Miss Brooks to our party tonight, I'll take that bar of fudge out from under your desk blotter and show it to Mother.
Come in, my dear.
I was told that you wanted to see me, Mr. Conklin. Oh, hello, Harriet.
Hi, Miss Brooks. Daddy has something he wants to tell you.
Yes. I've been coerced into having a little party at our place tonight, Miss Brooks. And if you have nothing else to do, we'd like you to come.
Well, thanks, Mr. Conklin. I'd love
to. Of course, if you can't come, we may just drop the whole thing.
Daddy, I think I'll change the blotter on your desk right now.
No. That is, I'm sure it'll be nice to get together.
All right, Mr. Conklin. Then if that'll be all, I'll see you tonight.
I'll be looking forward to it. Dismissed.
I'll walk out with you, Miss Brooks. Thanks, Daddy. And next time, try the ones with the nuts in them.
Quiet, girl.
know, Miss Brooks, there's nothing like a party to bring a person out of her shell.
You too, Harriet? I'm beginning to like it in here.
Now, the next thing you have to do, Miss Brooks, is to meet us in the music appreciation room as soon as lunch period gets here.
The music appreciation room?
You know the old saying, music hath charms to soothe the savage breast.
Yes, but I've been dating very few savages lately. Look, Harriet, what in the world is this
I've got to get to my French class now, but I'll see you at lunchtime. And remember, if you want PB to eat out of your hand, you've got to cooperate, CB.
S.O.S.
Hiya, Miss Brooks. Mind if I walk down the hall with you?
Not at all, Walter. I'm just going to the music appreciation room to meet Harriet. But don't ask me why.
I know why, Miss Brooks. Because tonight's party is an everybody who comes must do something party. And we've got something swell doped out for you to do.
For me to do?
You'll find out about it in a minute. Hey, here's the music room, Miss Brooks. Let's go in.
That'll be all for today.
Well, he came a long way to practice.
Very clever. Very clever. I'm sure he'll make a fine musician if he concentrates on his violin and stops telling jokes.
Hello, Miss Brooks. Well, we're all set.
We are.
Did you bring it, Mr. Pringle?
Got it right in this case, Walter.
Good. You know, Miss Brooks, tonight's an everybody who comes must do something party.
Yes, I know, and I think I know what I'm going to do, too.
What?
Stay home.
Oh, don't be ridiculous, Miss Brooks. You know how well Miss Enright plays the piano, don't you?
What has Miss Enright's playing the piano got to do with me?
Well, plenty. She's coming to the party tonight, and you know how she likes to show off in front of Mr. Boynton.
But we're going to see to it that you're the life of the party. Well, come on, Harriet. We've got some more arrangements to make.
Okay, Walter. You just put yourself in Mr. Pringle's hands completely, Miss Brooks.
That's right. If you put yourself in Mr. Pringle's hands now, who knows? You may wind up in Mr. Boynton's arms later. I'll see you tonight, C.B.
Know what this is all about, Mr. Pringle.
Take it easy, Miss Brooks. All the children want you to do is learn a very simple little specialty for the party tonight. Now, tell me, do you have any musical education at all?
Well, when I was a little girl, I played in our Girl Scout band.
Really? What instrument?
The tuba. I didn't keep at it, though. It did something to my lips.
Oh, you must have started too young. It's a difficult instrument to master.
Yes, for months after I gave it up, I couldn't drink a malted without swallowing the straw.
Well, what I've got in mind for you won't offer any difficulties, I'm sure. Now, this is a ukulele. It's the only instrument upon which a novice can pick out a simple tune in no time at all. Now, here, just place one finger on this fret. So, now, this one here. That's right. Now, play a chord. Go ahead, try it.
All right, I'll try. Washington at Valley Forge, 'twas bitter cold and up spoke George. Lo, do, de, o, do, 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 de, o. Take my lips and do your duty. Everybody calls me cutie.
Why, Miss Brooks, that's wonderful. Let's sing some together.
All right, Mr. Pringle.
Paul Revere on his midnight ride rode through town and loudly cried, Vo-do-de-o, do-do-do-de-o.
Shake my hand and call me Max. I've got a charge account at SAG.
His ukulele, gaily, how he strums it, bum-bum-bums it, dancing, dancing. Then he hollers,
black bottom.
Crazy words, crazy tune. You'll be driving me crazy soon with that bo-do-de-o, do-do-do-de-o.
Miss Brooks!
Do!
What's the meaning of this, Mr. Pringle? And what are you doing in Mr. Pringle's music room during lunch period, Miss Brooks?
I just dropped in for a melody burger. I mean, I wanted to see if I remembered something.
Leave this room at once. As for you, Mr. Pringle, aren't you supposed to be at lunch during this period?
Yes, sir. I was just going, sir.
Well, put that ridiculous-looking instrument down and get out.
Yes, sir. Come on, Miss Brooks.
Naturally.
Yeah, disgraceful. Carrying on in the middle of a school day and with a ukulele.
Hmm.
My dog has fleas. Bum, 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 hold that tiger. Bum, 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 hold that tiger. Bum, bum, hold that tiger. Bum, 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 hold that tiger.
What do you think of the party so far, Mr. Boynton?
Oh, it's very nice, Miss Brooks, but I'm a little worried. Everybody's supposed to get up and do something, aren't they?
Well, that's the idea.
Gosh, there isn't anything I could possibly do to entertain anybody.
Oh, I don't know.
Of course, I did make a speech some months ago to my biology club, but they're all men. I couldn't repeat that in front of mixed company.
Oh, why not, Mr. Boynton? What was the subject of the speech?
Well, I'd rather not mention it, Miss Brooks. It's a little racy.
Well, I'll just listen with one ear. What was it?
Well, it was called The Primitive Urge of the Sturgeon to Swim Upstream.
That's funny. I always thought the sturgeon didn't need any urging. Look, Mr. Boynton, I'm as nervous as you are about getting up and doing anything, but maybe we could do something together.
Like what, Miss Brooks?
Well, I just happen to have with me tonight this ukulele.
Oh, a uke. I haven't seen one of those things since my college days.
It's really very simple to pick up. It all came back to me in a flash. See, you just put one finger here. That's right. Now, this one here, so. Now, try it. Strum it, Mr. Boynton.
All right. I'll see you in my dreams. Hold you in my... Don't be bashful. Hold that pucker. You're the best since Sophie Tucker. Where in the world did that come from?
This is a brand new Boynton. Where did you go to college? On the Keith Circuit?
There you are, Mr. Boynton. I've been looking all over for you.
Oh, hello, Miss Enright.
And dear Miss Brooks, may I join you?
You have.
There seems to be room on this couch for three. Don't you think so?
Only if I sit in the middle. There we are.
Miss Brooks is so possessive. You don't ever want to share Mr. Boynton with anyone, do you, dear?
The property has only been optioned. It is not ready for subdivision.
Excuse me, folks, but Mother says if anybody wants cake and coffee, it's on the table. Just help yourselves, please.
Oh, I think I'll get some. Mrs. Conklin certainly knows the way to a man's heart.
I like the overland route myself. You run along, Mr. Boynton.
Can I bring you ladies something?
Just yourself, dear Mr. Boynton.
Yes. How about you, Miss Brooks?
No, thanks. Not right now.
I'll be right back in a minute.
Well, no doubt you've got your specialty all prepared, Miss Brooks.
Oh, it's nothing, really.
I didn't imagine it would be. I'm going to play the piano myself.
That should be lovely. It's obvious from your build that you've moved enough of them.
That's very funny. I wonder how funny you'll feel when I get up and read this letter in Dorothy Daly's column.
Letter?
Yes, I've got the clipping right here. It's signed CB, and it says, Dear Dorothy Daly, I teach English in high school, but my chief interest lies in a fellow teacher of the opposite sex whose initials are PB.
PB? Wait a minute, Philip Boynton?
Exactly. It goes on to tell how CB can't make any progress with PB at all and pleads for advice.
Oh, but Miss Enright, you don't think that... Why, I didn't write that letter.
I know you didn't. I did.
You?
A little April Fool's joke, Miss Brooks. But of course, when I read it, I won't mention that detail. And even if you do, it'll just look like a natural attempt to cover your embarrassment.
But Miss Enright, even you wouldn't... Why,
attention, folks, attention. We come now to that part of the party we've all been looking forward to so eagerly. The part where everybody must get up and do something. First, I'd like to introduce Madison's beloved English teacher, our Miss Brooks.
Enjoy your brief moment, my dear. I'm going to follow you on with this juicy little tidbit.
What do you mean, brief moment? I'm loaded with entertainment.
What are you going to do for us tonight?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I thought I'd do a few medleys of songs on the ukulele, then a few recitations, and maybe a parlor trick or two. First, the songs. Washington, the valley forged, was bitter cold, and up spoke George. Bo-do-do-do. So
So much for the song. Now I'd like to recite for
you. Just a moment, Miss Brooks. You've been on for over
an hour. Please, Miss Enright. Miss Brooks isn't finished.
Thank you, Harriet. Under the spreading chestnut tree, the village smithy stands. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. As you can see, I have here in my hand an ordinary deck of playing cards. And now I'd like to show you a fascinating parlor game. Mr. Conklin, do you have a phone book I could borrow?
Why, yes, Miss Brooks. There's one right here on this table. But don't you think it's a little late to phone anyone? It's almost 12 o'clock.
Oh, I'm not going to phone anyone. Walter, get a piece of paper and a pencil, please.
Okay, Miss Brooks. Well, I think this is the most...
Please, Miss Enright. You're interrupting Miss Brooks.
Thank you, Walter. Now, the idea of this game is to guess which name in the phone book I'm thinking of. You start with the A's. If you get a feeling that I've said the one I'm concentrating on, just call out. Ready? Go. Abbott, Abernathy, Ackerman, Addison. Pasco, Peyton, Penniman, Primpachek. Zimmerman. Zimmerman A, Zimmerman B. Hasn't anyone got a feeling yet? Mr. Boynton, how about... Mr. Boynton, where are you?
Mr. Boynton went home, Miss Brooks.
He went home? When?
Right after Mr. and Mrs. Conklin went to bed. He said he didn't want to disturb him, so Miss Enright drove him home.
Miss Enright drove... Well, that's the last straw. You know, of course, Walter, that it was Miss Enright who wrote that Dorothy Daly letter.
Miss Enright?
That's right, Walter. She signed my initials, but it was her letter that Dorothy Daly answered in her column.
Boy, what a dirty trick. I'm sorry you were so embarrassed, Miss Brooks.
If you think I was embarrassed tonight, just wait, Walter, till you see to me tomorrow when Dorothy Daly answers the letter I wrote her.
Miss Brooks returns in just a moment, but first...
Dream girl, beautiful luster cream girl.
Tonight, show him how much lovelier your hair can look after a luster cream shampoo. Only luster cream brings you Kay Dumit's magic formula blend of secret ingredients plus gentle lanolin. Gives loveliness lather even in hardest water. Glamorizes your hair as you wash it. Luster Cream, not a soap, not a liquid, but a dainty cream shampoo. Leaves hair fragrantly clean, free of loose dandruff, glistening with sheen. Soft, manageable. Gives new beauty to all hairdos or permanents. 4-ounce jar, $1. Smaller sizes, either tubes or jars. Tonight, try Luster Cream Shampoo and be a...
Dream girl, beautiful Luster Cream girl. You owe your crowning glory to a Luster Cream Shampoo.
And now, once again, here is our Miss Brooks.
Well, I had a date with Mr. Boynton on the following day, and I couldn't wait to find out if Miss Enright had told him about the Dorothy Daly column. Sure enough, it was the first thing he mentioned when he came by to pick me up.
That letter in the paper, Miss Brooks, it certainly has me puzzled.
Puzzled, Mr. Boynton?
Yes, I know, of course, that you're C.B., but who in the world is P.B.?
Mr. Boynton, I thought sure you'd guess. P.B. is an old flame of mine, a fella named Paul Bunyan.
Tune into another Our Miss Brooks show brought to you by Palmolive Soap, your beauty hope, and Luster Cream Shampoo for soft, glamorous, caressable hair. Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden, is produced by Larry Burns, written and directed by Al Lewis, with music by Wilbur Hatch.
Men, here is actual, factual proof of more comfortable, actually smoother shaves by using Palmolive Lather Shaving Cream. 1,251 men tried the Palmolive Lather way to shave described on the tube. And no matter how they shaved before, 3 out of 4 got more comfortable, actually smoother shaves. Try Palmolive Lather Shaving Cream. See if you don't get more comfortable, actually smoother shaves the Palmolive Lather Shaving Cream way.
For mystery liberally sprinkled with laughs, listen to Mr. and Mrs. North.
the exciting, fun-packed adventures of an amateur detective and his beautiful wife. Tune in Tuesday evenings over most of these same stations. And be with us again next week at the same time for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks.
Cancer causes a death every 3 minutes, and unless the present cancer death rate is reduced, 18 million living Americans will die from it. This will affect, on the average, 1 out of every 2 families in the United States. You can help stop the further spread of cancer by helping the American Cancer Society to provide more surgery, X-ray, and radium treatments. So give generously to the American Cancer Society today.
Stay tuned now for Life with Luigi, which follows over most of these same stations. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Well, folks, that was Our Miss Brooks and April Fool's Day, as aired on April the 3rd, 1949. And now it's time for our last show. And instead of it being April Fool's, it's Easter. Easter is coming up very soon, in a couple of weeks. So here is another Mel Blanc show, and the $100 Easter Egg, aired on April the 8th, 1947.
Presents the Mel Blanc Show, written by Mac Benoff, with Mary Jane Croft, Joe Kearns, Hans Conried, Alan Reed, Jill Walker, the sportsman, Victor Miller and his orchestra, and starring the creator of the voice of Bugs Bunny.
What's up, Doc?
Yes, Colgate tooth powder for a breath that's sweet and teeth that sparkle brings you the Mel Blanc Show, with Mel playing his new character, Zuki.
Hello, everybody. Hello, everybody. Hi.
And starring himself in person, Mel Blanc.
Hi, folks. Ugga, ugga, boo, ugga, boo, boo, ugga.
A few days ago, the whole country was filled with a festive holiday spirit. 129,999,999 people had a great time. Only one person had a miserable day. And who was that one person? You guessed it, Mel Blanc. It all started with the annual Easter egg hunt in Mel Blanc's little town. It seems that the local merchants offered cash prizes to anyone who found an egg with their ad written on it, and Mel Blanc was... Well, let's start at the beginning. It was just an ordinary day, and young couples were discussing the weather. In the park, a couple was saying...
Oh, Dave, it's 2 weeks past spring.
Yes, and it's about time I gave you a kiss.
And in another part of town could be heard...
Oh, well, it's 2 weeks past spring.
Yes, it's about time I gave you a kiss.
And in Mel Blanc's fix-it shop, where we find Mel and his girlfriend, Betty Colby, Betty is saying...
Oh, Mel, it's 2 weeks past spring.
Yes, and it's about time I stopped wearing my long winter underwear.
That was Mel Blanc in a romantic mood. But now we find Mel and Betty discussing a more serious topic.
Say, by the way, Mel, how's business?
Well, Betty, it started out terrible, and it's been falling off ever since. There just doesn't seem to be any more fix-it work in this town.
You mean you fixed everything so it can't be broken again?
No, I've broken everything so it can't be fixed again. Well, I'm in a sad way financially, Betty.
Well, have you tried getting a GI loan?
Yeah, but I can't find a GI who wants to give me a loan.
Stop being silly. Can't you get what you need at the bank?
Well, not anymore. Mr. Grimes, the banker, told me not to come back again.
Well, how can you get along without the bank?
Easy. I just fill my pen at the post office.
Gosh, Mel, you really are broke.
Betty, I'm so broke that yesterday when I weighed myself, the penny came back with a card saying, here, you need it more than we do.
Mel, stop being such a defeatist. If you only advertise the fix-it shop more, you'd do a lot better business. I'll bet you haven't even got an egg in the egg hunt.
Oh, yes, I have, Betty. It's marked Mel Blanc's Fix-It Shop, and if anybody finds it, they get a prize.
Well, Blum's Candies is offering $25 for their egg, and my father's supermarket's offering $50 for his egg. What are you giving with your egg?
Bacon and a side order of potatoes. Either that or a dollar in cash.
Oh, $1. Mel, no wonder you never get anywhere and Father doesn't think anything of you.
Oh, hello, Betty. Hello, Mel.
Father.
Hello, Mr. Colby.
Mel Blank, you idiot. I asked you to fix my cash register. What have you done to it?
Well, gosh, Mr. Colby, I ran out of parts, so I substituted them with some from a jukebox I was fixing.
A jukebox? No wonder.
Why? What happened to the cash register?
Plenty. Every time I ring up a nickel, it plays How Are Things in Glockamore. Mel Blank, you're a failure and a moron.
Oh, but Mr. Colby...
Believe me, I'm telling you this for your own good. Oh, I wish someone had taken the trouble to tell me how to become a fine, decent, upstanding citizen when I was young.
Well, gosh, Mr. Colby, maybe it isn't too late yet.
What? Why, you imbecile, you talk that way to me. Why, I'll bet the cigar I'm smoking costs more than you've made all week.
Oh, I wouldn't be too sure of that, Mr. Colby. I wouldn't be too sure. How much did it cost?
Well, maybe I was too hasty. 10 cents.
Maybe I was too hasty. You win.
Just as I thought. And what, may I ask, are you offering to the one who finds your egg in the contest? A quarter?
No, one...
$1.
No, $100.
$100? Well, Mel, my son, if you can afford to offer $100, you must be going places.
Yeah, I wonder if I can make the next train to Mexico. I mean,
Well, I certainly would like to know where your egg is hidden, you nincom... Come to see us anytime, Mel. Come, Betty. Let's go. Goodbye, future son-in-law.
Goodbye, future. Oh, what a fix I got myself into. $100. Where can I get that much money? Maybe I can go to Joe's pawn shop and talk to him about my watch. Nah, Joe won't give it back to me. I gotta do something.
Hello, Mel. How are you?
Oh, Professor Pochnik, my favorite teacher. You look peeved about something, Professor.
I am. I was sitting in the park and some kids were painting Easter eggs. Then I dozed off for a while.
What happened?
When I woke up, my nose was red, white, and blue. Mel, you don't look so good yourself. What's the matter?
Oh, Professor, I'm in terrible trouble. I need money.
Mel, my boy, I would give you the shirt off my back. And it would fit you, too, because it's your shirt.
Thanks, Potch.
You know me, Mel. Money never meant a thing to me. When I first married my wife, I never worried about money. If she asked for $5, I'm letting her have it. If she needed 10, I'm letting her have it. If she needed 100, I'm letting her have it.
Well, why were you so generous with your money?
I said no, she's letting me have it.
Professor, I need $100 to pay the person who finds my egg.
You too? The Chamber of Commerce talked me into entering my egg for $50. I haven't got the money either. What do we... Say, Mel, I got an idea.
What is it?
I'll find your egg and you'll find my egg. It's a regular egg and I. You're Fred McMurray and I'm Claudette Colbert.
Professor, that's a great idea. My egg is almost impossible to find. I hid it in a place no one would ever think of. The egg bin in Mr. Colby's supermarket. Who would ever have thought of that?
Me. That's where I hid mine. Well, now we got nothing to worry about.
Yep. You save $50 and I save $100. Oh, I'll get the phone. Hello, Mel Blank's Fix-It Shop. You bend it, we mend it.
This is the mayor's office, Mr. Blank. We've just issued a new ruling.
Yes?
Any merchant offering a prize in the contest cannot take part in the egg hunt.
What? You mean I can't find Professor Pochnik's egg and he can't find mine?
That's right. Goodbye.
Professor, did you hear that?
Hear it? I've already passed out and come to. Mel, what are you going to do?
Professor, as soon as I come to, I'm going to pass out.
Use Colgate tooth powder, keep smiling just right. Use it each morning and use it each night. It cleans your teeth, makes breath so sweet. Use Colgate tooth powder.
Want teeth that sparkle and dazzle, a breath that's fresh and sweet? Then try Colgate tooth powder, for the new all-purpose Colgate tooth powder cleans your teeth and sweetens your breath. Yes, this new all-purpose tooth powder produces an amazingly rich active foam that's marvelously effective. Every time you brush your teeth with this new all-purpose Colgate tooth powder, your whole mouth feels clean, sweet, fresh. Your teeth regain their natural sparkle. It's been proved in 7 cases out of 10 that Colgate tooth powder instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. And as for cleaning, you can depend on Colgate tooth powder revealing the natural brilliance of your teeth. Yes, Colgate tooth powder, the new all-purpose tooth powder, does everything you can expect or ask of a dentifrice. Try Colgate tooth powder today for teeth that sparkle and a breath that's sweet.
Use Colgate tooth powder!
Now, Victor Miller, the sportsman, and If This Isn't Love.
What we've got to tell you is entirely confidential at this moment. A secret, we've got a little secret. Shh, a secret kind of secret. We're aching for to shout it to every daffodil and tell the world about it. In fact, we think we will. If this isn't love, the whole world is crazy. If this isn't love, I'm daft as a daisy.
With moons all around and cows jumping over.
And cows are jumping all over. There's something amiss, and we'll eat our hats if this isn't love.
Cannot grapple
because you're so adorable. If this isn't love,
then winter is summer,
autumn, spring, and fall. If this isn't love,
my heart needs a plumber,
and that isn't all. We're swinging on stars, we're riding on rainbows, we're busting with bliss, and we'll kiss your hand if this.
Mel Blanc and trouble again, as usual. To make a good impression on Mr. Colby, Mel offered $100 to anyone finding his egg in the annual egg hunt, and now Mel has got to get the money back in some way or pay $100, which he doesn't have. But now to add to Mel's troubles, along comes Hartley Benson, the town Beau Brummel.
Hello, Hartley. What do you know?
Only what every girl tells me. Hartley, you're wonderful. Hartley, you're beautiful. Hartley, you're adorable. Mel, boy, it'll break the heart of every girl who calls, but I'm taking myself to Niagara Falls.
Oh, Hartley, the way you rave, you'd think every woman was crazy about you.
Well, form your own conclusion, Mel, but the telephone company comes to me for their phone numbers. In fact, statistics show that last year, 200 women dialed the operator and said, I want a policeman. 400 women said, I want a fireman. And 28,749 said, I want Hartley Benson. I tell you, Mel, it's gotten so that I can't keep my receiver on the hook, and it's cramping my style.
Why?
Well, as soon as I'm out with a girl, 3 minutes, I say, deposit another 5 cents, please.
You must get plenty of slugs.
Mel, old boy, you'll need more than slugs to pay the $100 to the person finding your egg. Well, how can you afford so much? Look, old boy, look at the way you're dressed.
Hartley Benson, I'm dressed in the latest style. When I get a letter, it's addressed to Mel Blanc, Esquire.
Well, you may have that distinction, Mel, old boy, but when I get a letter, it's addressed to Hartley Benson, Woman's Home Companion.
Ha ha ha!
practically a household necessity.
So is a mouse trap.
Now, that's getting very nasty. And to you I say, Now that I've blown my top, I must go. And I leave you with the two most beautiful words in the English language, Hartley Benson. Goodbye, old Mel. Nice old seeing you.
What an old character.
Bet if he could get his parents' consent, he'd marry himself. Oh, but that still doesn't solve the problem of how to get my egg out of Mr. Colby's egg bin.
Hello, Mel. Ugga-boo-ugga-boo-boo-ugga.
Hello, Mighty Potentate. Ugga-ugga-boo-ugga-boo-boo-ugga. Say, Mighty Potentate, I noticed the flag flying at half-mast outside your house. Are you commemorating some tragic event?
Oh, yes, Mel. My wedding anniversary.
Oh, too bad. I mean, congratulations. How long have you and your wife been married, Mighty Pote?
Yesterday. Yesterday, Mel, was the 20th round. I tell you, Mel, I'd been better off. I'd married John L. Sullivan. John fought clean. You know, I'll never forget the day we were married. It was in 1929.
Well, that's the year of the big crash.
Yeah. Looked as though the whole thing fell on my wife's face. You know, Mel, I should have known there was something wrong at the ceremony. You know how on the back of every bridal auto it says, just married?
Yeah.
On the back of our car it said, condemned.
How come I wasn't invited to your anniversary party?
Well, Mel, I tell you, it was just for relatives and my wife's friends. Naturally, we had only relatives. What a party. When I carved the turkey, my wife stood next to me and she said, John, carve the wing for Cousin George. Now carve for Uncle Leah. Carve Tom. And carve me. Gad, what a temptation.
Well, what part of the turkey did you finally carve for your wife?
Ha! I don't know why I'm telling you all this. It's just that I've got no one to talk to.
Well, buck up, Mighty Potentate. You think you've got troubles. I've got a $100 egg in Colby's egg bin. How can I get it back without Colby recognizing me?
Well, that's easy, Mel. You're good at disguises. Make believe you're an out-of-town farmer. Buying some eggs, you'll get it back.
Say, that's a great idea. Thanks, Mighty Potentate.
Well, so long, Mel. I gotta be going now.
Oh, where are you going, Mighty Potentate?
Well, I can do one of two things. I can go to the movies and see my favorite brunette, or I can go home and look under the wig I'm married to. Well, Mel, I got the boo, I got the boo, I got the boo.
Now to get down to Colby's supermarket. A farmer. Wonder how I sound as a farmer.
Hello, Colby, old boy.
Say, sounds just right. Oh, but Mr. Colby might not let me pick out the eggs I want. I know. I'll send Zuki over to distract his attention in some other part of the supermarket while I pick out my egg. Oh, Zuki! Zuki!
Mr. Happy Easter. Happy Easter. How long is it till Christmas?
Well, Zuki, what can I do for you?
Well, I want a bottle of meat, homogenous, Elsie's best. And I also want some cheese.
Oh. Well, what kind?
Pot. No. Make it Swiss.
Oh, how much?
Well, slice it until I tell you to stop.
Oh, okay. You say when.
It will be.
Well?
Stop already. you slice through all the cheese and two salamis. Hey, Mr. Colby, why are you hanging around the egg bin?
Well, to tell you the truth, Rookie, I've got my $50 egg hidden in that bin, and I'm not letting anybody get near it.
What?
Yeah. Oh, excuse me, Rookie. I see another customer coming in. Pardon me. Well, may I help you, sir?
Oh, howdy, Bob. Hey, think the rain will hurt the alfalfa?
I take it you're a farmer.
Yep. I've been milking cows all my life. It's all I ever done, milk cows. Getting so I can't shake a man's hand without putting a pail under it. Oh, but I can't complain. Milking cows pays me a good salary.
What do you make?
Pull down about 50 a week. Now, I think I'll take a dozen eggs.
Eggs?
Yep.
Just a second. Why would a farmer buy eggs? Don't you have any chicken?
Oh, sure. In fact, my chickens lay a lot of eggs. I put a radio on the chicken coop, and it made one chicken lay 50 eggs in one day.
A chicken laid 50 eggs in one day because of a radio?
Yep. She got so interested in one program, she dropped everything.
What do you want the eggs for?
Well, we use the eggs for hatching purposes. Got me a setting hen. Yeah, she was setting on some eggs when she took sick. And I had to sit on the eggs myself for a week.
What happened?
Have a cigar. Yeah, I'm also having a lot of trouble with my Rhode Island Red.
Trouble with your Rhode Island Red?
Yep, she's being investigated by Congress. Now I'll take my eggs.
All right. But I'll pick them out for you.
You'll pick them out for me. Well, don't bother. I'll be back.
What am I going to do now? I got it. I'm desperate. I'll hold him up. I'll take one of these bananas off the stand, wrap a handkerchief around it, and use it as my gun. And I'll put a handkerchief over my face, too. See, it's a good thing Mother taught me to be neat. Always carry two hankies. Well, here I go.
Stick him up, Colby. This is a holdup. Oh, don't shoot, mister. Take my money, take my clothes, take my jewelry.
I want none of those.
Well, what do you want?
Your eggs.
My eggs?
Yeah, I steal them all the time. I'm an eggy egg.
You're a what?
You've heard of the James boys, Frank and Jesse. Well, I'm one of their brothers.
Well, how come I never heard of you?
I always stayed in the house.
Oh, what's your name?
Home James.
This whole thing sounds highly ridiculous.
Now, careful now, Colby. I got you covered.
Oh, is that so? Give me that gun.
Be careful, Mr. Colby. You're bending it.
I'm bending it?
Yeah, this isn't really a gun. It's one of your bananas.
Oh, Mel Blanc, I'll break every bone in your body.
But, Mel, how did you get out of paying $100 for your egg?
Well, you see, Betty, when your father found out it was me, he got so excited he dropped all the eggs.
Oh, then the egg hunt didn't cost you a penny.
Well, not exactly, Betty. It cost me 10 cents.
10 cents?
Yeah, your father made me pay for the banana.
Mel Blanc will be back in just a minute.
Use Colgate tooth powder. Keep smiling just right. Morning and use it each night. Don't take a chance with your romance. Use Colgate tooth powder.
A breath of trouble, I mean unpleasing breath, can lose you friends and alienate people. So ask yourself if you could have this social handicap. Best thing to do is to guard against it. Brush your teeth night and morning and before every date with Colgate tooth powder. For Colgate tooth powder cleans your breath as it cleans your teeth. Yes, scientific tests have definitely proved that in 7 cases out of 10, Colgate tooth powder instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. What's more, no dentifrice at any price cleans your teeth more quickly and thoroughly than Colgate tooth powder. Remember to buy it first thing. And remember the name Colgate tooth powder with the accent on powder.
Don't take a chance with your romance.
Use Colgate tooth powder.
This is Mel Blanc saying thanks for listening. Good night, and
that's all, folks.
This is Bud Houston reminding you that Colgate tooth powder for a breath that's sweet and teeth that sparkle brings you the Mel Blanc Show every Tuesday at this time. Be sure to join us again next Tuesday night for more fun with Mel and the people you'll meet in Mel Blanc's Fix-It Shop.
Say hello to Halo Shampoo for naturally bright and beautiful hair. Remember, even finest soaps and soap shampoos hide the natural luster of your hair with dulling soap film. But Halo Shampoo contains no soap, therefore leaves no dulling soap film. Even in hardest water, Halo makes oceans of rich, fragrant lather, quickly banishes loose dandruff and dirt. Halo needs no lemon or vinegar rinse. Say hello to Halo and goodbye to dulling soap film. Get Halo Shampoo at any cosmetic counter.
Remember, Mel Blanc every Tuesday night at this time. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Well, folks, that was the Mel Blanc Show, and the $100 Easter Egg, as aired on April the 8th, 1947. I hope you enjoyed listening to all these exciting shows, and that you might play a few April Fool's pranks on any of your friends and family, or anybody that happens to be nearby, as soon as possible, because April Fool's Day is ending soon. I hope that you all have a wonderful weekend, and I'll see you again real soon. Peace out, and have a great day. Now, let's pass the mic on to Louise to close off the show. And Louise, take over now.
Okay, Mad Max. Thanks a lot, and I will take it from here. That's just about going to wrap things up for this week's broadcast of Mike's Saturday Night Surprise. But don't worry, we will be back again next week. If you have any questions, comments, complaints, or maybe even a request or two, please forward those to mikeameli@earthlink.net. That's mikeameli@earthlink.net. We will soon be releasing the key and returning the room to you, the listening audience. Please do with it as you wish, for as long as you wish. But just remember, be nice to one another. On behalf of myself and the rest of the MSS crew, have a great night, a great weekend, and goodbye.